After our Lord had been scourged, crowned with thorns, and unjustly sentenced to death, the guards tore off his old purple robe and clothed him again in his own garments. It was customary to fix a leather belt with iron spikes around the waist of the condemned man, which belt could be used to drag him along should he slow or fall to the ground. The guards then led our Lord to the cross, which had been prepared for him. And upon seeing it, he reached out his bleeding arms and embraced it and then kissed it. Resting the beam of the cross upon his right shoulder, he wrapped his arm around it and began to follow the guards out of the city along the way now called the Via Dolorosa, the sorrowful way. A procession quickly formed around him. There were the two thieves, each carrying a piece of his own cross strapped to his back. There were soldiers surrounding each of the three prisoners to keep them moving up the narrow street. And finally, there was the mob of people, still being incited by the Pharisees to mock and jeer at our Lord. To reach the main street, which would carry them west out of the city of Jerusalem, the company had to descend a flight of stairs. Our Lord was half fainting from the loss of blood. He was parched with thirst and he was burning with fever. His head, crowned with thorns as it was drooping on his left shoulder, for he could not hold it up without the thorns being driven deeper into his head by the cross. And his feet were bare and bleeding. The weight of the cross caused him to stumble descending the stairs, even as the guards were pulling on the ropes attached to the belt around his waist, urging him to hurry and beating him with ropes. The historian whose account we are considering examined the route which Jesus traveled in Jerusalem. He writes that the cobblestones of the street were of such a kind that they became very slippery, and even the slightest moisture. And they were cold, too, that morning, cold from the chill air of the night. At the bottom of the stairs, our Lord's bloody feet slipped upon these stones, and he fell to the ground. The cross fell upon him, drove the thorns even deeper into his head. It was some time before our Lord could struggle upright under the cross. But he was half dragged to his feet by the ropes around his waist, and then he was beaten until he was able to begin again with faltering steps. Our Lady had been following this sad procession in the company of St. John, and she told St. Bridget it was easy for her to do so, for the bloody footprints on the cobblestones showed the path our Lord had tread. She followed our Lord for some time, but then St. John took her down an alley which placed her ahead of the column. And here she waited for Jesus. Soon the column came around the corner and up the street. As soon as our Lord saw his mother standing before him along the way, a look of love and sorrow came over his face. Overwhelmed at the sight of her and her sorrow, our Lord staggered and again fell to the ground. Mary saw nothing then but her son, writes a certain priest. All the sentiments of motherhood, all the love of that purest soul welled up in her. She stepped forward, somehow managed to pass through the guards. And in a moment, she was at our Lord's side upon the stone pavement. All around them was confusion, but mother and son did not notice. St. Alphonsus says, as we pray in these Stations of the Cross, he says that the looks which were exchanged in that moment were arrows of love which wounded the hearts of those who loved each other so tenderly. St. John and the other friends of our Lord hurried forward to Mary's side while the guards were trying to pull our Lord back to his feet. Perhaps some of the guards were touched at this pitiful sight, but military discipline was their law. They could have no interference in the work. And so they would not pause to allow a moment between the son and the mother. Soon our Lord was again on his feet beneath the cross, and the procession moved on, leaving Our Lady to follow, but now with a new sword of sorrow in her heart. It was still some distance to Calvary, including a steep hill on the western side of Jerusalem, and it was clear to the Jews that our Lord was too weak to carry the cross any further. And so they insisted that the Roman soldiers enlist the help of another. And thus Simon the Cyrenian was pressed into service, carrying the cross before our Lord. St. John Chrysostom asks why it is that our Lord should choose to share this suffering with another. Why, out of all the sufferings of his passion, did our Lord allow another person to share in the carrying of the cross? And the reason the saint gives is that our Lord wanted us to understand that we too must carry the cross if we are to partake in the fruits of the redemption. Shortly after Simon took up the cross for our Lord, they encountered Saint Veronica, who tradition says was actually a relative of Our Lady by marriage, and who was the woman miraculously cured of an issue of blood by our Lord himself. Saint Veronica had been filled with grief when she had heard of the sentence of death passed against our Lord. Her home stood by the road along which our Lord would pass to reach Calvary. And so she waited to catch a glimpse of him as he passed by. As he came up the street with Simon's help, she saw the thorn-crowned head, the swollen and disfigured face, the blood, the spittle, the grime, which made our Lord nearly unrecognizable. And the horror she felt upon seeing these sad things was matched only by a feeling of intense compassion and pity which welled up in her heart. So, braving the indignation of the rough soldiers, Saint Veronica stepped forward and presented her veil to Christ, with which he could wipe his face and clear his eyes. It was a very small act of kindness, but our Lord richly rewarded it by leaving the impression of his countenance upon the veil. A look serene and dignified, even though in agony. The soldiers shoved Saint Veronica to the side, and the procession moved on. But she would not be the last to show compassion to our Lord along the painful road to Calvary. After passing the judgment gate toward the southwest of Jerusalem, the procession approached a spot where the road broke into three different paths, one leading to the little city of Emmaus, another toward Bethlehem in the south, and the third winding up the hill of Calvary. Near this spot, tradition says, a group of women from Jerusalem had met some women coming from Bethlehem. And those of Jerusalem told the newcomers all that had occurred that morning and who it was making his way up the road leading out of the city. These women were shocked as our Lord came into view, so disfigured and abused was he that they began to weep. Their compassionate hearts overflowed with grief at the sight of one man suffering so many different torments and insults. When our Lord approached the place where the woman stood, he noticed their tears. Whatever cruelties he was enduring at the moment, he could not see their distress and simply pass by. He now sought to comfort these women even as they were trying to comfort him. He stopped in the middle of the street, and the whole procession stopped too. And even the guards were powerless to hurry him along, for when the Son of God decides to speak, no one can contradict his will. Daughters of Jerusalem, said our Lord, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. These words were not a rebuke. It was not a lack of gratitude on our Lord's part. He acknowledged their tears on his behalf, and he was supremely grateful for them. But he wanted them to understand that it was not men who scourged and crowned him and drove him onward to the cross. It was sin. Tears of sympathy were appreciated, but tears of contrition were more necessary. The procession began again, leaving this little company of women to ponder these words. The end of the journey was close now. In a few moments, they would reach the summit of the hill where the crucifixion was to take place. And like Our Lady, Saint Veronica, Simon, the women of Jerusalem, each and every one of us will encounter our Lord on the way to Calvary each day. When we patiently bear with our little sufferings and tribulations, we are taking up our Lord's cross, and we are compassionating him on his sorrowful journey. And God willing, we do not need to be pressed into service. We want to see nothing but our Lord and His will when the cross comes upon us. We want to run to our Lord like Our Lady did. And so we pray to the Sorrowful Mother for patience in those moments. In the words of St. Alphonsus, O Mother of Sorrows, by the merit of that grief which you felt in seeing thy beloved Jesus led to death, obtain for me the grace that I also may bear with patience the crosses God sends me. You and Jesus, who were both innocent, have carried a heavy cross. Shall I, a sinner, who have deserved hell, shall I refuse to carry mine? O Immaculate Virgin, from thee do I hope for help to bear all crosses with patience. Amen.